I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Hope everybody having a pleasant Tuesday so far. Sunshine.
Man, it's hot out there, though.
Less humidity than there's been, I suppose. It's more withstandable than it has been, but it is hot in Memphis, and you should expect it. All these folks are like, what are we going to do about the heat? Well, that's Memphis as we get through June and on into July. It's heating up in the NBA playoffs, John Martin, because all of a sudden, it's 2-2 Atlanta and Philly. How about that? It's also 2-2 with the Clippers and Utah. How about that? John, remember this. No team in NBA history has come back from multiple 0-2 deficits in the same postseason. Clippers trying to do that. I don't know what's up with this rope-a-dope style they like to do. Right? Got down against Dallas, go down 0-2. They come on back, ended up winning that series after being down 3-2 even. Again, they do it in the series against Utah, down 0-2. They have stormed back. Your boy Playoff Paul came through for him. Him and Kawhi, 31 apiece last night. Kawhi looked good. He looked like he was a man on a mission again. It's amazing how he turns it on and off. But we've got a couple of good series there, and maybe picking one up tonight, John, with Bucks and Nets. We'll see how good that is the rest of the way.
Yeah, that's the benefit of seven games, right? You get to play seven, hopefully. And so the Clippers have decided they're going to maximize all of those games in these playoffs. Yeah, we got a lot to get to today here on the show. Jessica Benson is going to join us at 11:25. We'll talk to her about the NBA playoffs, of course, get her thoughts on that. I will say, man, the Grizzlies did a really good job making the Utah Jazz look a good team. And the Clippers make it harder. The Clippers make it harder for the Utah Jazz because what they have 15 points at the half yesterday. They had 15 points in 2 minutes against the Memphis Grizzlies, and that's fine. That's to be expected. But it is amazing. Like I did find myself thinking that, like, man, the Jazz looked unstoppable against the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yesterday, first time it looked like to me they missed Mike Conley. They got absolutely nothing from anybody else really, other than Donovan Mitchell and Ingles, and they could use Mike Conley right now. I'm not sure that I've seen this take that he makes the difference. You bring back Mike Conley, that gets you over the top, because I think a lot of it is how well Paul George plays. How poorly or well Paul George plays seems like a lot of it to me, but I hope Mike gets that chance to come back and be a difference maker in this series.
Yeah, I think the Clippers are...
not rooting against Mike.
I think the Clippers kind of smell blood right now.
Well, that's what happens when you get a two-time MVP up in there.
So anyway, we'll get into all that with Jessica Benson at 11:25. Then at 1:25, Jeff's going to be on demand this week.
Okay.
So that means he's going to be on the show today at 1:25. We will talk to him. He was spending a lot of time on the show today talking about things that he hopes stay post-COVID, right?
Some of
the things that we've, started doing as a result of the pandemic.
Fist bumped, I think, pandemic. Was one. Wants to keep the fist bump.
And yes, the fist bump. And I mean, the one thing that I will say that I've enjoyed the most of it from it is curbside. I mean, that's really the only thing that the only innovation that I really felt like is here to stay, because even the whole work from home thing, and I've been trying to tell people this the entire way. If you really believe that these companies who have leases for multiple years are going to just let you work from home without adjusting your salary, you're just crazy. And you continue to see more and more companies. And I think Charles Fishman tweeted about this today. More and more companies are saying, we'll see you in the office here real soon, like Disney, See you real soon.
Mm-hmm.
So this
back up in here.
Yeah, huh? That was never going to be that was never going to be.
Is standing up at your desk still a thing, or is that kind of like that too? Came and went. Remember when people were saying it's healthier to stand up at your desk? I saw one man do that back at the old CA. Y'all know folks that do that?
Yeah, I've seen that.
I remember.
Do they still do it?
I think some people do that with those ergonomical desks for using, so they stand up to stretch. I don't think a lot of people do it, though.
Man, I think it's a tech thing.
My thing is, let me sit my tail down somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, my back starts to hurt and all that, but it's supposed to work the other way, where it's better for your back. But that came and went. I saw one man do it. His name is Zach McMillan.
My wife's office, they closed her office, and she works strictly from home. But, I think it's a talent situation. She, the best talent shall rise. You know, I'm not trying to boast on my wife, but she does the stand-up desk as well. So she both works at home permanently.
Okay, so that's
and
still a thing.
Up.
That wasn't just a trend. Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
Like imagine doing a radio for show some. Standing up. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, that's, yeah.
A lot of people do it. Some of the best do it. You know,
doing radio shows standing up.
Yeah, shot, yeah. John.
Who does it standing up?
Most music stations they do because the projection is certainly better.
Yeah,
you know, that's why you notice in our building all the music stations are stand up. All the talk guys because we do longer shows generally sit down.
What right. If you got like a Zion body?
Well, then you should stand.
You sit, what?
You should stand because standing lowers your rate, your risk of you know heart disease and weight gain and obesity. And
yeah,
all
that's
stuff.
What they say.
So that's
just standing there does that.
Yeah.
Do you think we should have a
just standing there?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it lowers your risk of weight gain.
Again, I don't feel like this is sweeping the nation.
Oh, certainly
like
not.
Like it felt at one time.
I would have
it
a hard time
a
doing
trendy
this.
To me.
3 hours of this standing up? No. No thanks.
I'm
there,
with you.
There are certain moments, like when Larry Brown gets hired, that I may want to stand.
Yeah.
But it's few and far between. Anyway, we'll talk to Jeff Calkins about all of that at 1:25. We have a very interesting story, though, that we need to discuss here on the show. Because up there in, what is it, Amherst? Is that where it's located? Is that where the UMass campus is?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Amherst. Well, so they are, or Amherst, however you say it.
Announced it yesterday.
Yeah, they announced the, at UMass.
I'm getting stand-up people, so this is apparently still a thing.
Oh, so people do stand-up?
Yeah.
There you
well,
go.
Stand up, rep your hood out there. But up at UMass, they announced that... That they're going to have four statues. They're gonna unveil four statues in honor of sort of the legends that have passed through their program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously there is some tradition there at UMass, and those four statues are going to be Marcus Camby, Dr. J.
That seems worthy.
Julius Erving,
mm-hmm.
Jack Lehman, and then a guy we know quite well here in Memphis, John Calipari.
How about that?
John Calipari is going to have a statue at UMass, and it got us sort of thinking, not necessarily just about Cal, but, you know, if UMass can honor four basketball legends, well, certainly they can at Memphis. You know, certainly they could do this at Memphis. Now, we're still waiting on the city to approve the Core 4 tax payment plan, you know, so we're probably going to have to funnel that through you know, city taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
But so while we wait on that to get through for Mike and Zeebo and Tony and all those guys, I guess we're going to have to wait for Mark to finish up, right? We got to wait for Mark to call it a career. We could have this conversation about the Memphis College basketball program. And if they were going to honor four men's basketball legends the way that UMass has decided to do, who would those four be? Now, some of this has already been made pretty easy for us. Because Larry Finch is getting a statue.
Mm-hmm.
We had Dr. Rudd on the show a year or two ago to talk about that. He's going to have a whole sort of section on campus or right off campus dedicated to him, a park, I believe, and he'll have a statue there. And so we already know that.
Didn't he and Frank Murtaugh sort of start that?
I believe so, yes. Yes, I believe Frank Murtaugh from the Memphis Flyers said that Larry Finch should you know, have a statue.
Salute there. Because it's funny that you compare it to the real fast to the UMass situation. The school president didn't even know that they were going to this plan that they planned to erect a statue for Calipari. Whereas here at Memphis, you have the president sort of at the heart of it,
mm-hmm.
and with Larry Finch. So back to your point, we've got one of the four accounted for is what we're saying, right?
Yes, one of the
with
four
with Larry Finch, and I think rightfully so. Obviously, with the career he had, both as player and coach,
exactly. And you can, I mean, I'm sure, do we know if he's going to be immortalized as player or coach? Do we know that much yet?
Didn't we ask him, wasn't it like a half and half thing or something like that?
Really?
If I'm not mistaken, I seem to like vaguely recall that we asked him a question sort of similar to that. Might just be him with a rolled up piece of paper as a coach, but I thought, or maybe that was just our idea when this whole thing came out, but that is on the way, and I'm not exactly sure of what form it will take, John.
Yeah,
but having one is the key here.
Yeah, you know, look, Larry was the school's first basketball All-American. You know, averaged 22.3 points a game.
Yeah,
in his
took him to the national runner-up appearance. Lost Bill Walton.
Yep,
UCLA.
From a social perspective,
mm-hmm.
we know how important and how significant he was to the Memphis program. You know, African American kids from Memphis did not go to Memphis until Larry Finch and, of course, Ronnie Robinson decided, hey, we're going to stay and we're going to.
Yeah, and Menning telling them that he shouldn't. Yes.
Yeah, Yeah. So obviously we got 25% of the work done for us, which is good. So that leaves three spots.
Three.
Now you have had some great coaches come through, and you have had some great players come through. And so I think that's kind of where we will sort of have this. I think there's really, to be honest, one spot that we could really argue about, and maybe we will. But if we're going to do three other statues, don't you have to have Penny as one of them, as a player?
It feels right to me, just because, and I realize he's still got work to do on the coaching side of it, but he has come back, much like Larry Finch, and his plan is to get it back to relevance, to sort of restore it, set that to the side. You could make the argument he's the greatest player to ever don a Memphis uniform.
Mm-hmm.
Make a very strong argument.
From a talent perspective.
And I realize Derrick Rose goes on, wins an MVP, all that stuff, and Penny never did that. But give me a break. Penny and Shaq were changing basketball. Penny, one of the best point guards in the league at the time.
Yep.
At one point, he's first team All NBA.
Yep.
Like that was there for him, and could have continued had the knees not been an issue. But you could make an argument that Penny is the greatest player to ever play at Memphis. It seems like to me, you got that guy, the greatest player arguably, to go with. Now he's a coach. Just seems to me like Penny should be on there. Played 2 years.
Yep.
2 years at Memphis, and it seems like a no brainer again. Not so much for what he's done yet as coach.
Yeah,
that's to be determined.
Yeah.
But you make that greatest player.
Well, Penny was a legend
Who was better than Penny?
A coach. Yeah. I mean,
number three pick.
Yes.
Him
coming back as a coach sort of, that's what we talk about. It sort of risked that, right? You put that at risk when you come back as a coach.
Yeah.
I mean, because people have such a high regard for you as a player and as just a philanthropist here in the city of Memphis, right? Coming back and never forgetting where he came from. Mm-hmm. I think that was one of the pieces of the conversation. So, yeah, definitely it would be as a player because, I mean, he took Memphis and kept them in an era, right, very relevant. Very relevant, and so I think certainly Penny, with everything he accomplished.
I'd be curious to see a four that doesn't have Penny in it and see.
Yeah, it's hard to find a four without Penny.
Hard not to have him in that four.
Yeah,
let's see where else we go, though.
Yeah, I mean, he was the representative for, Memphis and Nashville and the KJZ Market Madness.
Well, that's true.
You can't hold him.
Lost to Yachty, though.
You can't hold that against him, though.
No.
I mean, that was clearly rigged.
We should have gone out and got the vote.
Stop the steal.
We should have gone out and got the vote. We should have gotten the streets more support for
Penny. We should have had a January 6th moment for that one.
Lost to Yachty A. Molina. What's he hitting this year, BC? Is he hitting pretty good?
He's hitting bokeh.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, nobody would know Yachty A. if he walked into Brookhaven tomorrow. I mean, they'd be like, hey, look.
Yeah, but they wouldn't Cardinal Country.
I know, but we're not talking about just Cardinal Country.
He'd walk in there with his Jordan,
We're talking about the whole country. The whole country is not Cardinal Country.
Let's not be bitter.
As you pointed out, they suck yesterday.
Let's not be bitter because we lost.
You pointed out yesterday that they suck, all right? So Yachty A. Molina is not going to be honored in our four here for Memphis basketball.
Would he even get top four statues for Cardinals history? I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah, he's right there.
It won't be Adam Wainwright.
I mean, here's the problem with the Cardinals. There's just too many of them.
Yeah, and Adam Wainwright.
That's Yachty's problem.
And Adam Wainwright admitted this week that he uses steroids. Isn't that what he said?
I didn't hear that.
I don't think I heard that or read that story either.
I missed that one.
That would be absolutely huge.
I would know that.
He said, I use a sticky substance. It wasn't steroids, but it was like, I use a sticky substance. And I remember you guys back in the 70s, you guys would always hold the Raiders accountable when they used stickum. So I cannot wait to see the same level of accountability for Waino.
Let's not worry about the Cardinal statues. They can worry about that up in the Midwest, right?
Cardinal country.
That's right.
They've got too many already.
We've got two of our four.
So Penny's in.
I think Penny's in, right?
Yeah, Penny's
yes.
in.
Oh, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I think it is a
right. We need this out, BC. This is one thing because I want to see a list a list of four that doesn't have Penny on.
Yeah,
I don't know that it can be considered credible.
We're sort of working our way through the eras here, right? We have Larry Finch sort of as the dawn, right, of Memphis basketball, and Penny was that early '90s sort of bridge to
transition from out of the
'80s,
and all those vacated.
And so because
seasons,
people do hold the 80s because I think for a lot of our listeners, for a lot of people in Memphis, the 80s were the birth of Memphis basketball fandom. For a lot of your 40s, your 50s, your 60-year-olds, like the 80s were the time where you're like, oh my God, Memphis basketball.
Certainly for me, because I'm too young.
Yeah.
Too young. Came in, come along 76, missed the whole Bartow era, the Larry Finch playing days era.
You know, it was
so for me, it was those mid-'80s, early-'80s teams.
Same for my mom, right? Like, my mom told me about Memphis basketball because she remembered the 80s, you know? And so then as she told me about the 80s,
But there are a great many Memphians that it started for, obviously, before them. But yes, for that, for us in our 40s, absolutely.
Well, yes,
John,
everybody that attends Memphis basketball games, it started for them in the 1920s. You're exactly right.
All right,
that's
careful
the
there.
Point you're trying to make.
You're going to offend some blue hairs.
So if you acknowledge that the 80s were a roaring time for Memphis basketball,
well, they were.
You have to include someone from that era.
Yep.
And who was the best player of that era but Keith Lee? I mean, Keith Lee was a two-time consensus first-team All-American.
Mm-hmm.
That's never happened in Memphis basketball history, and I highly doubt it ever happens again. Let's be honest. I mean, maybe Penny was. I got to go back and check. I know he was certainly the first. And so I don't think that is something that is not a mark that you will typically see at a place like Memphis. I think CDR ended up being a first-teamer,
mm-hmm.
But two times. Yeah, I mean, Penny wasn't even a two-time consensus first-team All-American. He was one-time. So you're just never going to see that ever again.
I think that's why I said arguable on Penny. I think some would tell you, some of the older heads would tell you that Keith Lee's best player ever dawned. Because
I can hear that.
Big guy who had a mid-range, rebounded all that, blocked shots, but big guy who was skilled in that sense. And I'm not telling you that, Casey. He does hold so many of the Tigers' records still to this day. But to me, yes, in terms of encapsulating those runs of the 80s and how strong those teams were,
yep.
Nobody stood taller than Keith Lee.
Nope.
Like, I think it's – imagine that. Imagine Larry, Penny, and Keith Lee.
Yep.
I think we're off to a – I think we got the right three so far.
That's the easy part, bro.
Okay.
You know what
I thought this was going to get hard. I'm surprised actually, I'm not.
The fourth is easy, too, isn't it?
I don't know.
I think the fourth is actually very difficult.
I don't, because this is what some people up in UMass are running.
What you really can't do when
you're... Seems very obvious.
We're talking about statues, right? So what you can't do is have someone who's polarizing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't have a... You can't... I mean, unless they're, you know, Nathan Bedford Forrest, and he got taken down. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't want to have to come back in 20 years and take it down because it's polarizing. You need everybody to pretty much be on the same page about the statue. It's just the truth. And so that's why I think the fourth one is, and while also simultaneously making sure that they deserve the statue, making sure that their production matches, you know, warranting a statue. Lots of great players have come through here. Not everybody deserves a statue. So that's where I think, and coaches as well, and that's why I think the fourth one is your instinct might be to say, well, John Calipari, your instinct might be to say, of course he deserves a statue. But would people in Memphis really support a John Calipari statue? I don't think so.
It's a funny thing, because up at UMass, where I just told you, the president did not know the plan, didn't know it all. And he said, it told Shaughnessy, he was writing a column for the Boston Globe about how this was a bad look for UMass having a statue for Cal. Remember, he left that thing on probation. They got that season vacated. Now, he also puts in that column, Cal and Canby put UMass basketball on the map.
That's right.
Okay, they were number one that season, made the Final Four run, all that stuff. And we could talk about in terms of what was left behind in terms of the violations. And as Shaughnessy puts it, you know, minor compared to today's stuff. Okay, now, you know, Canby did go back and in an extortion trial admitted that he slept with prostitutes. Okay, all that stuff was in it. We get all that. That was basketball at that point. But here's the point. Shaughnessy says bad idea. The AD, who didn't tell the president, by the way, that they had planned to do this, says that 99% of their fan base is with this, that it is not a hot-button issue. Even though you got columnists up there saying, no, what are you doing? President says, I didn't know a thing about this, all that kind of stuff. The point is that he said there's 99% agreement. This is the AD that Cal deserves the statue, despite the fact that obviously they had to vacate the season, all that kind of stuff. So it's interesting because you've got Cal here. Remember, when he got inducted to the Hall of Fame, UMass did a thing for him. Memphis was going to do one.
Yep.
What happened? Fans spoke to Dr. Rudd after he made the announcement, we're going to honor John Calipari as part of his induction to the Hall of Fame. And what happened? Fans went nuts and they canceled it. So it to watch a where you could say similar situations in the sense that, well, John didn't put Memphis basketball on the map, but he did make a Final Four run, national runner-up appearance. It's vacated. That kind of, you leave a lot of the same there. But it feels like here, John, and I, I doubt it's changed in the couple of years, few years it's been since Memphis was going to do that banquet, then canceled it, since John was inducted to the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
It's funny to see the difference in terms of fan bases and their appreciation level, at least according to this AD.
Right.
Now, I have a hard time believing 99% of the fan base on board. Doesn't sound like they talk to a whole hell of a lot of people about, you know, getting approval for this. But it's interesting to see the sort of night and day difference between how those schools feel about John Calipari. Because I bet if you present it right now that John be the fourth of those statues, you'd have just as many that came out.
No doubt.
When they said, no, you're not bringing him here for a banquet. We're not honoring him. You'd have just as many come out and say, no, 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 we're not building the statue for Cal.
Yeah, I think that's the...
Why is it different?
Brad, was that the one that you thought was obvious?
No.
Okay, well, who is your guy? I was interested about
Derrick
that.
Derrick Rose.
1 year.
Yeah.
Is what I tell you.
That's kind of the issue there is the career achievement.
Great player, to your point, and that would complete a list of four. It's three guys who played, but doesn't the 1 year in this instance sort of X you out from that?
Well, I'm glad we had it.
And also, certainly glad to have it. And I also think that but there's still, you know.
That's we brought him up too, Brad. And I think a lot of people are with you that they would bring him up.
That's a situation too that's sort of rife with controversy, right, is entrance exam, you know, the booster thing at the end of it.
Well, the fact is, Clearinghouse cleared him. Yeah, all that was a mess anyway.
But it's like, I know that fans obviously feel very fondly about Derrick Rose, but how does Derrick Rose feel about Memphis and things like that? These are complicating factors.
Okay, so back to the point. If it's not Cal for Memphis in that era, who is it?
I mean, look, I mean, somebody from that era has to be a part of this because they set many records. They were the first team, I think, to win, or, you know, they had the winningest program for some time over 4 years.
Antonio and.
I'm not sure if that's been broken.
Who was it? Chance ended up going down as most wins, most games
Dozier
played, all that. Dozier, too, I think.
Yeah, I mean, and so, because you'd say Cal, because Cal, I feel like, was bigger than the best player from the era. He just was, because he was the constant, you know? And there was there's a lot of different ways you go to Antonio Anderson. Of course, we love Antonio, but his production, you know, you wouldn't say his production was statue-worthy, right? He was a great college basketball player, but
still beloved.
Averaged like, you know, 7-8 points a game. I mean, I don't think that gets you a statue, right? I don't think that gets you a statue. CDR was great as a junior, an All-American as a junior,
like
but
3 years,
you know, averaged
that
14 a game for his career. Does he get a statue?
Oof.
I mean, that's, you know, that's up to y'all to sort of figure out. Cal was the orchestrator of everything, but you can't, you know, if you nobody in Philly says, man, we can't have a statue of Rocky Balboa. Of course, everybody's down with Rocky Balboa. Who doesn't like Rocky Balboa in Philly?
Everybody.
You know, so what you can't have happen is a stat. I mean, people might vandalize a John Calipari statue. You know what I'm saying? They might desecrate it. So that's the thing. It's like you don't want to alienate half your fan base or 75% of your fan base. Even though Cal probably is the answer, he can't. He can't. And by the way, I don't even like the idea of following UMass. I don't like the idea of following UMass.
I mean, with all, Cal is in the Hall of Fame.
He is.
You know, and I would tell you, and I told you then, they should have had that banquet.
Yep.
Like
then?
Dr. Rutt.
At that moment in time?
There was some backlash on Twitter, John, but there were a ton of big boy boosters. I've told you about this and what the endowment that was going to happen. Cal was going to put this, all that stuff. It was handled poorly. I tell you, and it was a perfect example of where in this case, because listen, President Rudd has stuck his foot in some things in terms of sports, like Tubby Smith, and ended that and hired Penny Hart. That was important. But this was a case where that's why you got an athletic department who's going to know sort of how to handle this and what the reaction's going to be, what it's going to look like on Twitter. And what do you say about Twitter all the time? You know, it's not representative.
Right.
At a lot of times of the true reality that's out there. But here's the point. It didn't matter if you weren't going to have anybody at that banquet that paid for those plates that was going to get in there and boo him.
Yep.
You were going to have people that were actually in there to appreciate him. And so it was, whether you had to publicize as much as you did or not, put it on Twitter or not, that was the mistake there. You let the athletic department handle that. That gets done. You get the $1 million endowment, whatever it was going to be from Cal, all this kind of stuff. That's the way you handle that. But back to the point. There was enough that it was, when Rudd got it, it was, man, I'm not having any more fun on Twitter. I don't know if you remember those tweets. And he was, it just hit him, it blindsided him. And it was enough at that time for Memphis to cancel. Now, remember, this was all sort of entail with his being inducted into the Hall of Fame. That's why UMass decided to do it. Memphis at the time was going to do it. Hey, let's localize this and honor him. I just, who is the better? And I'm not saying you got to do it. I've got people texting me and said, you should do one for Lorenzen Wright. And again, you do one for Lorenzen Wright, and I get it, and I know what he means to the program, but we're looking for, if it's just four, don't you have to have a representative from those Cal years, which represent some of the greatest, if not the greatest, in this program's history?
You have to have somebody.
Lorenzen Wright deserves something. I mean, he's beloved, all that kind of stuff, but
I'm going to just kind of keep my thoughts on that to myself.
Just to the point, if you have Lorenzen as the fourth, you have nothing from that Cal era, whether it's player or coach. Right. My whole thing is, he built it.
Right.
Right? He didn't put it on the map, but he rebuilt it to something that we had never seen at that point. In terms of your conference dominance, all that kind of stuff, he goes out and gets Tone and CDR.
Yep.
So if it's not him, you're going to have to bring one to the table to me that seems more obvious, and I'm not sure there's a more obvious answer.
But the problem is,
UMass, why are we different in terms of the, NCAA, because we know is a joke in the first place. The whole Derrick Rose thing was a joke in the first place. Is it because he called the recruits that he had committed and signed with Memphis or whatever it was and said, well, wait a minute, use that extra time? Right. You know what I'm saying? He left for a better job. I know we have a hard time admitting that here in Memphis
sometimes, but
nobody's going to turn down Kentucky.
Well, also, the program has been
absolute
crap since he left.
You survived, though. You're in a position where you could get it back if you've got the right guy in there.
Yeah, I mean,
you're dead.
I just think there's always going to be hard feelings for Cal, no matter what. I think I don't think in 30 years people are going to write, man, Memphis fans are so grateful to have had Cal. Like, and I think with every, at UMass, I don't know the temperature up there. I really have no clue.
It's amazing how it's completely different, and that season was vacated too with what happened with Camby.
But maybe it's because Memphis sort of felt like before Cal showed up, they had tradition, right? They felt like, you came here and you weren't the first thing that you weren't the invention of electricity for us in Memphis, Tennessee, even though you thought you were, and then you left and you left us with this and that. I think there's hard feelings.
Well, if it ain't Cal, maybe it is Derrick Rose. I mean, the guy was an MVP. Maybe you do it this way. You have four. Yes, Larry went on to become coach, but with no Cal. Okay, we want the four players. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Cal would represent the one who did not play. Maybe you look at it that way. But again, I'd want to hear your case on why they're better than Cal in this instance. And I get it. I know it's, you say it around here. Oh man, you need to get this Cal thing. Get over it. You say something similar to that around here, you get a whole bunch of folks saying, hell no, I'll always hate it.
I think Cal is.
But didn't we kind of come to terms with it when he came back here?
I think you have come to terms with it. I don't think the majority of Memphians have come to terms with it to the extent of I'm okay with him being immortalized in front of the University of Memphis.
Again, just
because that's what
explain
you have
to me the difference where you can have most of the fan base on board up at UMass and down here. It's different. Why? Because he called players and said, now I want you to come up to Kentucky now. That's sort of how it operates.
I mean, I don't know what the circumstances. I mean, the president didn't even know. So I have to believe they tried to pull this on, dude, in the dark of night. Like, something is amiss there. Something's not right.
Well, remember, they did their ceremony thing for him going to the Hall of Fame. It wasn't like they said they did what happened at Memphis happened there when they did the Hall of Fame. Hey, we're going to have a banquet for you going into the hall.
Right.
That people were fine with it.
I mean, let's be honest. Gene Bartow,
so it's not the same.
Gene Bartow is more deserving of a statue than Derrick Rose. I know it doesn't. There's no representative from the Cal era.
When we started this conversation off air, I told you that gentleman Gene would be worthy. Issue there is it's 4 years,
right?
Okay, it was 4 years. Made a national run, and you have Larry.
Yep.
Okay, you got Larry, who was let's be real, was the key piece of that.
Yep. What's amazing if you go to Gene Bartow's.
But you see how smooth this was for three of the four? But you get to this fourth one, it gets difficult.
If you
guys
go to Gene Bartow's Wikipedia page, like, they don't even have a section for Memphis. It's UCLA, UAB, and honors. As if like his run at Memphis like didn't. I mean, it's like a friggin' footnote in his bio on, that's just Wikipedia, but I mean, he did some amazing things. Two MVC regular season championships at Memphis, and of course the championship appearance, the first ever in the history of the school. I mean, I
just wonder if to avoid this, to your point, this Cal, no Cal,
right.
I feel this
well,
way,
the, that's
I
the
don't,
problem, yes.
Do you in turn go and say, okay, well, the representative there is D. Rose?
Well, the representative
because,
would be,
you know
more
what I'm saying,
CDR than D. Rose. Don't we agree with that? I mean, he played longer.
You and I do. I wonder if the majority of the fan base is like that. I mean, Brad said was obvious, and I just think there are many people who feel the same way Brad does. CDR, in terms of contributions, it was 3 years. Guy was an All-American.
Yep.
But if we're talking about greatest, because you have, John, what you have with the first three, greatest players to ever put on the Memphis uniform.
That's right.
What would fit is Derrick Rose as a fourth there.
Yeah.
But again, that was for 1 year. And I'm not sure, I mean, where do we do statues for folks that were around for 1 year?
Now, he didn't play at Memphis, but consider this. What about, since we're having such an argument over the four, what about R.J. Hampton? Because R.J. worked with Penny.
I'm surprised you don't.
He worked with Penny.
Mm-hmm.
He worked, and R.J., obviously, as you know, was Rookie of the Month in May with the Magic. So would you be open to R.J., because he did his draft prep on campus.
Before Giannotto shut that down.
Well, yeah, but then they moved.
But then he came back.
Yeah, like you can't stop Penny with just one article.
You being silly. I thought you'd at least say somebody that put on a Tiger uniform like Boogie Ellis.
He thought about it.
Are you kidding me?
Damn, I should have thought about Boogie. Boogie helped him with that 14.
For his 2 years?
Let's do this. Let's put up a statue of the NIT. Because that's what you wanted to do when it happened. Or we could immortalize the 14-3 record.
See how he takes a serious conversation, Brad, he turns it into some mess.
How about this? He turns it into a joke. A statue
we were
of
having a
14-3
here.
What is the 14-3?
We're doing the Lord's work here, four statues.
It was what the Tigers went after the 6-5 start. Mm. 14-3.
Which apparently it was just garbage to you.
No, it was good. It was a good run. It was a good run.
Yeah,
John.
Thanks to Boogie
you
Ellis.
You got
huh?
to do better.
I agree. And DeAndre Williams.
That man said, I agree.
DeAndre Williams could get a statue. I mean, dude is a great player for the Tigers. Now, they got to get to the tournament, you know?
DeAndre going to be next to Keith Lee and Penny and Larry. John.
You know what it comes to mind is how, and this is going to sound really bad, undeserving the core four of the Grizzlies are of probably having a statue.
I mean,
especially when you see a 1 year, 2 year, 3 years of Ja Morant and you go, wow, do we really need that statue too? That's a very controversial take in this city. That is very controversial.
I think you could say it now, and I think we'll say it years from now, that those four guys in particular, that core four, put Grizzlies basketball on the map.
Right.
That era.
That's why
Grizzlies
you do it. You do the statue because
they
put it on the map.
And that, I mean, that's what you, Matt, that's
a good point.
Says of Cal.
Yeah, because if you're the Grizzlies.
Cal's the same way.
For them, he put UMass basketball on the map.
Right. Yeah.
Those four, for you will always be able to go back to them, no matter how good it gets with Ja Morant and all that, and say, here's where it started.
That's really a good point.
For the Memphis Grizzlies.
Right, right.
This is where this
they
is
put it on
started.
The map. That's
and
a good point.
And they've been around so in Memphis for 20 years. Sure. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's time to, you know, pay homage.
And I ain't paying on erecting statues either for just anybody. You know what I'm saying? But that we will look at that as always the start of it.
Well, we have not come to a consensus on the floor.
No, well, that's good. Maybe
we can take some calls on this a little bit later in the show, get Jessica Benson's thoughts on this. You know, I think somebody from the Cal era has got to be involved because they got to a freaking championship.
I agree.
They beat Michigan State.
We're just going to forget about
Texas,
those years?
They beat UCLA.
Because we're mad at Cal?
You know, you absolutely.
No, whether the players or something. Or
have
Cal,
to have someone.
I think my argument for D. Rose would be his 1 year coming to Memphis was transcendent.
My argument for D. Rose would be you have three of the greatest players in Memphis history right there in Penny, Keith Lee, and Larry Finch.
He's one of those.
D. Rose would be among that group.
Yeah.
Because of what he would go on to accomplish and what he helped lead here, you know, for that one.
Yeah, that year was special.
I just have a problem with 1 year.
Yeah, so
there's no other one.
I will tell you guys, as somebody who moved to town in 2004, so about 4 or 5 years before that championship almost run, that's the 1 year that always will stand out.
Oh,
and D. Rose will always be the emblem of it.
It was like the capper.
Right.
And he will be
he went on with Tyreek and still had some success, but come on. That was the top. That was the climax.
Yeah, that was the climax.
It was the apex of the era. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely fair.
Now, I wish he would have made free throws, but that's a whole other
story. I just think that's a different conversation.
Not just him.
From
he had some
immortal, right? I mean, because that's what you become with a statue. You become immortal.
Would he even come back for the
Would Keith Lee come back? I mean, that's a hell of a question. I mean, maybe you can get both of them back.
That's what's sad.
One fell swoop. You get Keith Lee and D. Rose.
It'd be sad about that four. You have two of them that might not even come for the honoring.
It is interesting how divisive Cal still is, though.
One of the things that
Memphis
he'll
always be divisive, man.
He is polarizing.
I put my hands on it and fix it today. I wish I could. Keith Lee in Memphis.
Yeah, man. Jason, you hit on the money people love Cal, though.
Yes, they love him.
They freaking love him.
But it ain't just about the money people. It's about the non-money people.
Yeah, but John, they're going to have a banquet where you charge per plate. That's about the money people coming in there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And getting that done. You wouldn't have had anybody in there booing just folks off the street. And I get there is a large portion of this community can't stand him.
People will,
but nobody more representative of that time and what he built than
on
him.
On a cow statue, admit.
UMass gonna do it, but we're too mad. It was just too. It's too raw here. He went to Kentucky. He called up to John Wall and DeMarc. Like,
yeah,
when are we gonna get over that?
He lied about wanting to be in Memphis. Right, he lied on the way out.
John, it was Kentucky calling.
I'm not mad at him anymore.
You're
going to
say
over
that
it.
Stuff. We see football coaches do that kind of changing jobs at the bowl games and saying, I'm with
it.
My team here.
But it was just, there was something off with his exit, you know.
Got to be able to forgive, man.
We'll ask Jessica Benson about this. She's not from here, so maybe she can give us an objective view on Cal.
We might need it at this point.
And so we'll get her thoughts on that.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This that throw up in your Birkin bag, hook up with someone random. This that social awkward suicide, that buy your lips and buy your likes. I swear she
Jessica Benson is the host of Rise and Grind. Catch it every morning on Grind City Media. Catch her on the Grizz Radio Network during the season. She joins us every Tuesday, and she joins us. Now, you texted me, Jessica, during that segment. I imagine you were cringing because you are anti-statue. Is this true?
Oh my gosh, you guys, I could have saved you that entire conversation and just said, don't make a four-pronged statue a la Mount Rushmore, because the only reason we have these conversations, and this is why you guys just talked about it for 20 minutes, is it's June, sports talk radio, sports shows, sports TV shows, we need something to talk about. And it's great for debate because everybody has different opinions on who should be included in those kind of things. So I step back and I say, no, let's put an end to this. You know what I look forward to? Going to the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame and reading about all of the history of all of the interesting figures throughout Memphis sports. And then there's context. And in case there's any problems down the road, you don't risk having a full statue that you then have to find a way to remove.
That's a good point, you know, and that's one I think worth considering. We live in an era now that is it's kind of hypersensitive, right? And if something, you know, would come out, or, you know, like there's a line that you have to sort of decide as a university, okay, is this worthy of, you know, taking the statue down for? Is this okay to live with? Like, that's what you open yourself up. I mean, look at Penn State, you know, and that was awful, but they had to remove the Joe Paterno statue, and it was humiliating on a variety of levels for that university. And again, I'm not saying that would ever have to happen, but it is a consideration when it comes to erecting these things.
They even want the OG Mount Rushmore potentially taken down. I mean, there are people who legitimately feel that way. So save yourself some time. I also come from it from a USC angle, and as you guys are starting the conversation, I'm like, who would I pick for the four of USC football history? And there is one obvious name that you can't include in a statue form for the history of USC football. So just avoid it.
Well, I mean, is that not over yet? I thought that was over. I thought his ban was over. Is his ban not over?
I'm not talking about OJ. Talking about Reggie Bush.
Okay.
I'm not talking about Reggie Bush. He makes my Mount Rushmore. He still gets up at this point. That ban is indeed over.
Good point.
Hey, how do y'all feel about Keyshawn? I actually heard him on his own show talking about this. Is he not
really
held up there with the greats? Is there, you know, whatever issue happened back then? Is Keyshawn not on that list of greats there?
He's definitely on a list of greats, okay. But I'd put him in like a top 10.
I got you.
Okay. You're saying OJ really can't have a statue?
Come on, bro.
I mean, Jason would say, go on, give him a statue.
No, fool. I'm the one said, this is the fool over here said, let's have a beer, OJ. No. I'd love to sit down with you, have a beer. You remember that conversation,
yeah,
fool?
A beer, man, not a statue.
Yeah, and I said no. And no. I'd say no to a beer and no to a statue.
let's just
OJ got his own statue. Let's just take backyard.
Let's take the off-the-field stuff out of it, though, for USC. Would it be Reggie Bush, OJ Simpson, Pete Carroll, and Matt Leinart?
Matt Leinart.
Oh, don't you have to put Marcus Allen on any list?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, damn.
The better version of OJ.
Again, okay, so, this is where it gets difficult. And then you even go into, Garrett and his history, and then you talk about, you know, someone's legacy ending a little differently based on what he ended up doing as an athletic director at USC. It all gets too complicated and too sticky. So my point stands. Ban statues.
Okay, well, look, in this scenario, right, we are going to have four statues, damn it.
To it. We're going to do it because you
you're committed.
Yeah.
You've talked about it for 40 minutes.
Right.
It's going to happen.
That's right. We're pod committed at this point. So here's the thing. You're not from the city of Memphis. You live here, so we embrace you, but you're not from here.
Correct.
How do you view John Calipari? And do you think that if in this hypothetical scenario Memphis were to, you know, erect four statue of legends,
talk about hypersensitive,
should he be on it? Should he have a statue at Memphis?
Let me completely clarify. This is me taking off my current Memphis resident hat, and as an outsider perspective coming in, why did I, a young girl growing up in Denver, Colorado, know about Memphis basketball? John Calipari. Mm-hmm. So, based on, you know, how he elevated Memphis during his tenure into the position that they were in for that period of time, I do think that technically speaking, he should be included in that list. But then I also can understand that that would cause quite the stir up here in the city of Memphis. And I would guess that the majority of people would not want to see a Coach Cal statue.
Well, if what happened when they announced the banquet a few years ago is any indication, I think you're right, Justin.
Right.
There'd be a ton of people that don't want to do it. All right, on to the NBA. Where are you on Nets as of today, Jessica? With a banged-up Harden, we'll see if he can go tonight in Game 5. But the bigger news, obviously, is when they lost Kyrie in Game 4. It felt like the Bucks seized control and maybe even of this series. Is that still going to be a series, do you think? Do you think we end up in 7 with this one? Where are you at on Bucks-Nets?
Man, it really felt like the Bucks were DOA after those first two games of this series. And it's just such a reminder that circumstances can drastically change in the playoffs. And the Milwaukee Bucks right now are the benefactors of that. You mentioned a Kyrie Irving's injury looms incredibly large for the Nets. I know James Harden is deciding if he will play tonight. He'll go out there and try in pregame warmups. I just don't want them to rush someone out for the sake of just putting someone on the court. Like, we've seen that happen. We don't need any more of that. Injuries have been a big enough storyline in the playoffs thus far.
Yep.
But this really ends up coming down on Kevin Durant, who's down his two superstar teammates. He's down his bodyguard even. He can't even be there anymore after the whole dust up with PJ Tucker. And this will be the Kevin Durant show. I think the Bucks are able to take advantage of that in what we've seen thus far, which is just wild considering how abysmal things looked for them just a week ago.
To my man John Martin, which I thought was wild yesterday, that said if Kevin Durant is the person we think he is, the player we think he is or hold up as, that he should be able to push this Nets team through against this Bucks team. Do you agree with him? By himself.
Yes and no. I think we like to get into these conversations, and it's always, you know, we're always going to go up against, okay, LeBron James did it in his capacity. Can Kevin Durant do it too and put himself in that upper echelon? When it comes down to Kevin Durant too, it makes me so nervous to watch him having to be the guy. When you see him play 40-plus minutes in Game 4, 40-plus minutes in Game 3, he's coming off an injury of his own. Mm-hmm. And so it feels so dicey. But then you also do have to remember, it's not like this Nets team is full of just a bunch of scrubs. I mean, they were competitive in the bubble last summer with some of these guys. Joe Harris has been able to play minutes. Sure, they're still without Spencer Dinwiddie, too. And I think if he was a part of the equation, so much of that load, or at least a little of that load, could have been taken off KD. But this really is his moment to shine. And I think we unfairly, as sports media, you know, put such a spotlight on moments like this, like, okay, KD, step on up. He's more than proven himself and his place within the NBA. But it will be intriguing to see if he can do it, quote, on his own.
it is a wide open finals, it feels like, in terms of who it could be.
Mm-hmm.
So who do you find yourself sort of pulling for?
I have gone full on the Phoenix Suns bandwagon.
Hey.
I am on. I am ready to fight fans. Just kidding. But Suns in four, let's go.
That was legendary.
No, it's fun, and it's interesting now because, you know, when we talked last week, the playoffs were kind of at a boring point. Like, it felt like we were going to get some blow-off situations, and I thought we were dead set going to end up with Jazz Suns in the Western Conference Finals, and I was itching for that. And now there's some question of, can the Clippers come back, and will it be Clippers Suns? But meanwhile, the Suns are the only team right now sitting back. Chris Paul's shoulder, who cares? He's fine. He gets all the extra time. We saw that in that series, what Chris Paul was still able to do at this point in time, but the Suns are fun, and I don't know how you can't find yourself rooting for Chris Paul at this stage in his career. Monty Williams, all that he's gone through, when the two of them were embracing, walking off the court the other night, I was like, oh, yeah, I can get behind this team. Plus, you can get behind campaign, because we could have two Lausanne Lynx NBA champions in the last couple of years, and that's crazy.
I'm glad you brought up campaign, because he is an absolute great story. All right, why have you stopped watching The Bachelor?
Oh, my gosh, why not? Yeah. You know, the last year of The Bachelor really took us all for a ride, and it just felt like it was out of control. And I'm not sure that we as society need The Bachelor anymore after everything that happened in the last technically three seasons, but there was the whole situation where one bachelorette fell in love early, so she left, and then we got a replacement bachelorette.
Right.
And then we had a very quick rushed, not a lot of break going into the Matt James Bachelor season. I just needed a break.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? The break feels good. I firmly deleted it off my DVR. It doesn't even record anymore.
It's lost its
luster.
So this
is real.
I'm with you.
It has.
Completely.
We don't need it.
I don't really have a choice anymore.
Cancel.
Because a lot of times, you know, I'll be feeding the baby and my wife has control of the remote. There's nothing I can do. I mean, I'm helpless at that point. And so I've been exposed without any say in it to this season of The Bachelor, Bachelorette, whatever. And I saw the first episode. She was making out with this dude in a cat costume. And I was like, I mean, I feel like we have just.
They're kissing on the first episode. Deep tongue kisses. It's just.
Yeah, like we really have. Like,
they force it on us.
We've lost this. A sense of who we are, you know. I mean, I think we're running out of things at this point as a series. I mean, look, they've been going for a long time, you know. I feel like they're running out of material a little bit here.
It's old. Like I don't need to see this anymore, and I feel bad. The Bachelorette this season, Katie, she seems cool. She was a little TikTok star in her own right before ending up on the last season, and now, you know, translating into this. And it's a huge career opportunity. I know it's all about love and finding the one, but it's also about elevating your status and getting some sweet Instagram sponsorships too. So I hope she's still able to ride with that, but I just don't need it. Don't need it in my life anymore. I've grown.
That's why everybody says when they show up, oh, I'm here for you. No, you're not, dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, why would you be? Last thing, you know, when anything good happens to my partner, I resent it. Like, I can't stand it.
It's very ugly.
If anything ever, you know, serendipitously happens to Jason, it just makes me sick to my stomach. So how does it make you feel to know that Megan Triplett, your partner, is going to the Olympics?
I am so excited for Megan. Truly. It's one of those things where when we kind of got a little word of it, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, ooh, that's exciting. And then the magnitude of it hits, and you have the New York Post tweeting about Megan Triplett, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, you just got posted. Like, this is incredible.
That's right.
And she's so – the thing that makes it even more spectacular for Megan is that she is so humble. Like, she is the last person who wants to talk about this experience, which makes me just want to gas her up constantly about it. Because she works her butt off. She's so talented. And this is a huge stage. And most importantly, it's the Olympics. Like, it's the dead of summer. We don't talk about a lot more than the Olympics when they're going on. And now Megan gets to be directly a part of that. So I just feel so excited to even be fringely connected to her through Rise and Grind. And I will miss her for those couple of weeks on the show, but can't wait to watch her on CNBC.
So she's going to Tokyo?
No, she's going to New Jersey, which is basically the Tokyo of America, right?
Okay, yeah, it is. I mean, when I think Tokyo, I think Jersey. There's no doubt. I mean, it's just it's the center of American culture.
Thank you, because John's incapable of being excited for me if anything good happens in my life.
No, I think you should go
so
to the Olympics.
You schooling
and
him,
I think
just,
we should make a statue of you as a broadcaster.
Funny
hey,
man.
Jessica, thank you so much for the time, as always.
Thank you, Jessica.
Thanks, guys. Yep. Talk to you.
Yep, she is Jessica Benson. Joins us every single Tuesday here on the show. So she's not going to Tokyo, but she's going to Jersey. You know, I would say I'll just stay here in Memphis. What's the difference? You know what I'm saying? I'll pipe in from Memphis. I don't need to go to Jersey.
No, dude. It's an opportunity.
Yeah. I'm saying you'd still do it, but I'm like,
you got to go to Jersey. You just fly up to Jersey. Give me a break.
You would
absolutely do it. You see how that goes? If that happens to me, in this case, we know John's up, but I go national, whatever else.
Absolutely.
Basically, this is what Megan's done. What's John going to sit over there and do?
Resent you.
Gonna sit
pick
over
it apart.
Brood over there in the chair.
I'm going to say, man, they must have had a really shallow candidate pool.
Yeah, you know it's the Olympics, but it's really just New Jersey.
Should have been me.
Exactly.
Should have been me.
I mean, come on, man. Yeah, I mean, it's just New Jersey, man.
My whole thing is like, you wouldn't be excited for your partner. Jessica schooled you on the attitude and behavior that should be.
No, that's what she's saying publicly.
I would be excited for you if KJZ goes ahead and calls you on up, says, you know what, you didn't get Penny over Yadier, but we still like your stuff.
Well, they know
you
come how much of a fraud that whole thing
You do
was.
That whole, hell no, John, do the hell no line again. Mm-hmm. We just love that here up at National. We want you to come up. You know
that's
what your
right.
old partner would say? He would say, I told you so. I told you he had the talent. I said it from the day I got here. I'm excited for him.
Thank you.
I'm excited for him. I'd be like, what's the show going to do? It may not be ever be the same. I would be excited for you.
Thank
John,
me too.
Straight hater.
Yes. Oh, I would be absolutely miserable about it, and I would let everybody know.
Good thing Megan Triplett ain't your partner.
That's right. It's a damn good thing.
John would have cut her brakes.
like,
you ain't going to Tokyo. You ain't going to Jersey. Yeah. You ain't covering Olympics. I'm cutting your brakes.
It would be a Tanya Harding situation. There is no question.
A sabotage.
About it.
Inside
yeah.
job.
Yeah, no doubt
Brother,
about it.
Brother, you got to get your life together.
I would say, yeah.
That's crab in a barrel mentality is what that is. You're pulling
100%.
Right on back. Yes. Come 100%. Up out of that.
I acknowledge it 100%.
Well, you need to acknowledge it and repent.
Jessica is a better partner than me, though, so I appreciate her. I wanted to get her thoughts, though. I wanted to see what she would at least say publicly.
It's an awesome opportunity for Megan.
But it is. No, I mean, yeah.
For anybody gets that.
Absolutely, man. That is a big-time assignment.
Who's she wore? Shepard Smith or something?
Man. It's high level.
With all that makeup on he got.
High level. All right, we'll come back. We might take your calls on that fourth because we still have not come to a consensus.
Well, I've had one submission, too, I want to tell you guys about that we had not considered and has done a huge amount for Memphis basketball.
I gotcha. Okay, well, we'll save that for when we come back.
Mm-hmm.
Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.